My name is Malachi. Many of you know me. Normally I'm up there playing drums, but today I'm preaching. So it's great to be here. So I hope you've been enjoying our millennial service. I certainly have. It's been really refreshing to me and very exciting to just see my wife singing like an angel up here. It's been great. I also want to thank Steve and the elders for just giving me the opportunity to really speak my heart and to share with you what God has been laying on my heart. So today I want to talk about the image of God. And I really only have 2 points, but before we get to that, I want to ask, what comes to your mind when you think of God? What's the image? How do you feel? What are the emotions that you have? I think more importantly, how do you think God feels about you? Is he loving to you? Is he patient, kind? Or is he distant? Is he angry? There's a quote by A.W. Tozer. If this thing will work. There it is. What comes into our minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. And I think that's very profound, because when we think about God, if you think of him as this angry, distant, judging God, that will absolutely transform the way you interact with him, and with other people, actually. If you just see God as loving, gracious, but never judging, never any of the other stuff, that'll also change things. If you think God doesn't exist, that'll really impact how you react, how you treat people. So how we think of God is really, really important. And as for myself, I asked myself this question 3 months ago and really honestly sat down and wrote down, what is the image I think of? I was reading a book by John Bishop called God Distorted. And it's really about how your earthly father affects your view of God as a father. If God is really a father, then you naturally just think of, who's my father? How was I raised, you know? And that it really has such a huge impact on how we see God. And so I was going through that. There's all these different father types and different ways, and I think probably all of our fathers are a mix of all of them. And you can have a great dad, you can have a bad dad. But it affects you deeply. Even if you have a wonderful dad, that can even affect you to perhaps not rely on God as much and more on your dad, because he's so great. But there's a lot of things that can happen. And as I sat down, and this was the question in the book, he had this quote in there, and I really thought about it. My image of God, which I hadn't realized before, was really an intimidating image. He's above me. He's on a big throne. He's not very approachable. He's distant. I don't feel intimate. I don't feel emotions. I just feel cold. I feel like he's not welcoming, maybe too busy for me. Just unemotional, stoic. And above all, the strongest thing I felt was he's always dissatisfied with my performance. And you can imagine how that impacts the way you relate to God. Do I even want to go pray to God if he's always dissatisfied with me? Or if he's unapproachable or too busy for me? So the way you think about God, the image that comes to your mind is extremely important. And I want to share a little bit about myself. Over 6 years ago, I became a disciple, and I had come from a religious background. I prayed to God, I read a lot of the Bible, but I had never read this. And if you haven't read Luke 14, this is different. Buckle up. Because Jesus, my 2 points for today, one, Jesus is Lord, and the second one I'll just go ahead and tell you, Jesus is Savior. He has to be both. But to me, in my background, Jesus was just Savior. He was Savior, 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 grace, grace, grace. That was it. He didn't judge. He didn't call me to obey him. But we'll see Jesus is much different than that. Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, his brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Wow. For which one of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and is not even able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear. So this is Jesus. When I first heard this, this was my Savior, Savior, grace, grace, Jesus, telling me, you have to obey. If you want to follow me, this is what you need to do. You need to love me more than you even love your own life. Wow. Deny yourself. Take up a cross, which is an image of dying to yourself daily. And I was so fired up when I heard it. I was like, wow, this is real. This is, God is real to me. He's not just this, I don't know, like a genie or some grandfather that's just always giving you candy or anything like that. He really calls me to obey. And he does. This is God. This is Jesus. He must be Lord before he can really be Savior. But over the years, I think that message, I focused so much on it that I began to forget about the Savior part. And I just elevated this to the most important thing. And you can be sure that if you ever elevate one part of Scripture over everything else, it's bad. There's the bad things will follow. And that's ultimately what led to recently when there were some tragedies in my life. There was a coworker of mine who I had been reaching out to. I really clicked with him. I kind of shared God with him a little bit, but I just wasn't inspired to do that very much, you know, because my God was distant. My God was not loving. What good news did I have to share with him if I had come to that place of just being burned out? And so in the course of time, actually, as I was reading this book, trying to figure out all my emotions, trying to figure out my image of God again, I found out my friend took his life. And it hit me very hard. I didn't want anything to do with God. Suddenly, all the stuff I was going through, it was like I was digging up a grave, and there was just all this muck I had to get through. All these bad emotions toward God I had to get through, and I never felt like that before in the past 6 years. But I didn't want anything to do with God, and people are preaching up every Sunday about, you need to connect with God, have a personal connection, and I was like, yeah, I know I need to do that. I know I need to, but I don't desire God at all. Which really shocked me. And I wouldn't have said that to anyone at the time when I realized it. Of course, we're in church, you know. Nobody's going to say, oh, you don't desire God at all. That's, how could you, you know? You're not going to feel welcome to say that. But I wanted to be vulnerable today. Because I think it will help someone else. I think there are many of you here who have been going along as a disciple for years, and you've forgotten why.
Come on, Malachi.
And it's very important. We need to connect with Jesus being Lord. But this right here, salt has lost its taste. I got hung up on that. Every day I thought, man, if I'm not doing all this stuff, he says I can't be his disciple. I can't be a Christian. Am I useless like the salt? And I had to ask God in prayer, do you see me as useless? Are you just going to throw me out because I lost my flavor? How can my flavor be restored? How can I get back? Can I get back? Can I come back to God? And if you just look at Luke 14, no. There's no answer there. It looks just very hard line. If you're not doing this, you can't. You're gone. And that's how I felt. But then God said to me, I felt like he said to me, the answer is in the next chapter. Keep reading. Because I remembered Luke 15 has some different stuff in there. So how can salt regain its flavor? And we'll skip to the prodigal son. Because Jesus was hanging out with a bunch of sinners. The Pharisees were looking at him like, man, Why is he associating with all these bad people, all these sinful people? He's accepting them. How could he? If he's really a righteous teacher. And then he tells them this story. He said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that even the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to himself," another translation says, "when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' So he arose, he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off," I love this, "'his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him.'" This goes back to my image of God. I couldn't see God running to me. I saw him as distant, like he didn't want anything to do with me. He just wanted me to obey or else, because all I focused on was that. But there's this side of God. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. We have to read the whole thing. So if you just keep reading, you see a father who runs to his son. He can't wait to see him. It's like he's sitting out on the front porch just waiting for him every day. "Where's my son? I know he went off and sinned. I know he went off and ruined all my wealth. But I just want him back." And that's when God said to me, "That's what restores the flavor to the salt. It's not useless. You're not useless." Today, I want you to hear that. You're not useless. God runs to you. He embraces you. And there is hope. I was feeling like that, like I was in a pit with pigs. Just disgusting. Like I was in a pit and I couldn't come back to God. I was just in that rut. There's another quote that really helped me this past week. "Jesus, as only an example, will crush you. You will never be able to live up to it. But Jesus as the Lamb will save you." If we just look at Jesus as Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. We love to say that, and it's true for good reason. But if that's all he is to you, it's really not a gospel. It's not good news. It's just rules. Gospel means good news. But if he's just Lord and he's never Savior, there's nothing really good about that to me. There's no reason to follow that. There's a lot of religions that have rules. But only Jesus has grace. Only Jesus died for you. So as we talk about your image of God, is he just Lord? Is he just Savior? Because either one is just as bad, unless he's both. And that's how I was living. He was just an example to me, a perfect example I could never live up to. And so I always felt like, I'm falling short. I can't even go pray to God today, because what does he want to do with me? I just messed up again. But he's not. He's not that way. I think the way we really need to think of it, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. A lot of people will stop on 2:8. You know, in 2:8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." If we just stop there, there's Jesus being a Savior. It's all grace. It's not by your works. You don't have to do anything, and you're saved. "For we are his workmanship." In another translation I love, he says, "We are his masterpiece." We're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you see both there?
Yep.
That's a full image of God.
Amen.
I mean, you can't get a full image of God from just this one scripture, but that gives both sides.
Yep.
You know, you're saved by his grace, which really propels you to even want to work for him,
yep.
to even want to do good works,
Amen.
And in fact, to desire it, to take joy, and to have true fulfillment in doing that.
Yep.
And that's what I remembered that I had in the beginning. Over 6 years ago, it was joy to do good things. It was joy to repent of sin and to feel free to cast off the burden that I was carrying with me. It was joy because I knew Jesus loved me, that he was walking with me. And over time, that can just become such a burden because we forget. I want to encourage you if you're in a place today like I was and like I'm still going through. I'm not totally out yet. I don't think we ever will be. There's always the temptation to slide to one extreme or the other. And I've gone to so many extremes throughout my Christian life. It's just, you know, at first I was all grace and now I was all this and now I was all that. You can slide so many places, but I've found there is hope. There's hope to get back, to get out of whatever rut you're in. There is absolutely hope. And as we look at the scriptures every day, I think that's so important. We have to fill our head with the mind of God from the scriptures.
Amen.
What is the real image of God? I don't have it on yet. Every day I still have to remind myself. When I think of God and when I try to pray, I have to remind myself he's not distant. He's with me. He loves me.
Amen.
He's embracing me. He's happy that I'm with him. So what is your image of God? And hopefully we can all get to this. This is the goal. If we can be propelled by his grace, that we can know he loves us. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. Then we'll love being with him. We'll desire him. We'll go after that personal connection, which is so important. But until then, you can't really share anything good with other people if it's not good to you. And that's where I've been. There is hope. If you're in a stuck place, if you feel like, because it's been months, I've just been listening to different preaching and trying to have quiet times, and I just felt like, I can't get out. I can't go forward. God, help me. Don't let guilt keep you there. God is running to embrace you. So with that, I want to close, and as Steve always says, God bless you.